He is the only one worthy of anything. He comes to earth and doesn't say, worship me. The beauty of lion and lamb, he's the lion and the lamb. How are you both? It's that the true strength of the lion is that he was the lamb. Mm. If you had to just say, like, who is Jesus, what would you say about that? To somebody who has heard about Jesus their whole life, they've heard about Jesus, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, he was a good teacher, he is involved in many different religions, I hear about him, we think he's a good guy. I mean, what would you say about Jesus if you had to describe him to somebody?
To just read straight out of the Bible, Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so there is no, there really is no gray area with who Jesus is. Like C.S. Lewis put it, he's either Lord, liar, or lunatic. It's like, if he's not who he says he is, he's either a liar or a madman. But if he is who he says he is, then he is God in flesh, right? I mean, the Bible says in him, the fullness of deity was pleased to dwell. And so it's like, there's really no room for Jesus is a way. Jesus himself said that he is the way.
Yeah, I would say he's the Son of God. You hear about him being, his mother's Mary, but she was a virgin, so she got pregnant somehow, miraculous. It's a miraculous birth. So he's the Son of God. But it says in Philippians, which is crazy. Actually, this is worth bringing up. It's crazy that he was born, but it was his decision to be born. Hopefully this isn't confusing. We think about the Trinity. The thing about the Christian faith is that we serve a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the reason that makes them beautiful, the God we serve beautiful, is because they've always been in fellowship and communion and relationship from eternity past. And then in out of their love for one another, they decided to create so man could share in fellowship with them. And so if Jesus is part of the triune Godhead, that means he was eternally existing before he was born in the womb of Mary.
Yeah.
And it says in Philippians 2, if any of you have encouragement being united with Christ, basically, if any of you love Jesus, have this mind among yourself. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of others. Because of this, have the same mind as Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. There's a beautiful song that they sang at Habitation that just came to my mind. Jesus is not a baby in a manger anymore.
Amen.
He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He is highly exalted, King of Kings, fire in his eyes, sword coming out of his mouth, Jesus. Make you tremble in your boots, type Jesus. That's who he was before. It says being in the image of God, being equal with God. Jesus was equal with God. That's the thing about Jesus that makes him different than a lot of religions, is that they believe that Jesus was the biological Son of God, or he wasn't actually equal with God. No, Jesus is was fully God, fully man, before, and then he decided to humble himself to come reconcile a broken humanity, to come reconcile a broken people. He's like, I'm going to come down to heaven. I'm come from heaven down to earth and live like you. I'm going to be, how humble.
Tempted in every way that we are.
Tempted in every way. Yet without sin. Yet without sin. And so, go ahead.
And that, yeah, I think that's so good. Like, I think we've touched on part of, like, the theological, almost like the doctrinal title, or if you will, or, and we've touched on a little bit of the character, because the question being, like, who is Jesus ultimately? And to truly understand, I believe there are many people that have heard exactly what we've laid out, you know, the Bible versus the, you know, he is 100% God and 100% man. How does that work? Can't explain it. But I think the one thing that so many people miss is his character, because it's the character that really touches our hearts. Because, I mean, we can have all the head knowledge we want, but, and that's not to go on a tangent, but I think one of the problems is too many times we try to fix a heart problem with a head solution, when in reality, like, and I'm not saying head knowledge is bad. I think we should pursue knowledge. We should pursue wisdom, all of that. But it all boils down to the heart, to the character of God and the character of Jesus. It says, all things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made. And so I just had this thought of, like, Jesus, we've established that he is co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in heaven. All things were made through him, creating the people that were to crucify him, mm-hmm. knowing that they were going to crucify him, creating them with love. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine the heart of God. Just, I mean, it talks about the Roman centurion that mm-hmm. was watching the crucifixion and just going, surely this was the Son of God. Like, he's creating the very people that were going to kill him mm-hmm. with love in his heart, just hoping that some of them would realize his love through seeing him crucified.
The thing that will wreck everything you know about religion, about God, is God real, is God not real, it's that Jesus is the only, we'll call him a man because he was a man when he walked the earth, the only man that really deserved any honor, praise, glory, attention of anybody. Okay, we think LeBron James, we think the President of the United States, we think Lionel Messi. We have these people in our minds that we like, they deserve credit and affirmation and honor for the things that they've done. In comparison to Jesus, it all wails, because he's the author of salvation. He was in the beginning with God. He was the one that when God said, let there be light, God does not have a body. Jesus has a body. So when it says he spoke, it had to come from a mouth. God, Jesus spoke the world into existence. That's John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Nothing, I think it says, nothing that was created without him, or everything that was created through him, something like that. And so he's the only one worthy of anything. He comes to earth and doesn't say, worship me. The beauty of Lion and Lamb, he's the Lion and the Lamb. How are you both? It's that the true strength of the Lion is that he was the Lamb. Mm. True strength is actual meekness, that he was the creator of all things, and he had enough stability in his who he was. He's the creator. I don't even know, words are failing me right now, that he goes and he's healing people's eyes, their bodies, their limbs, healing people of leprosy. I mean, even the disciples, even Peter. Peter's like in John 13, knowing where he's come from, Jesus knowing where he's come from, and knowing where he's going. I know I've came from heaven. I know I was there with God in the beginning. And knowing I'm about to go to the cross, out of all the things I could do, I'm going to wash my disciples' feet. And Peter says, no, 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 you're not going to wash my feet. And he says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. And then Peter says, well, then wash my hands, my head and my hands also, or something like that. And so Peter was then the one who denied him three times. How? I mean, Jesus is sitting there washing his disciples' feet. He's about to die for them. And he knows Peter's about to deny him. How? I mean, that's the thing about Jesus that wrecks everything about you, is that he is the only one worthy of praise, honor, and glory, and he didn't lord it over us. He like almost lets us figure it out on our own.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers, yeah. Bro.
Yeah. And I would just tack on one last quick thing about the character of God. And so many people get confused, get tripped up, thinking that God the Father and God the Jesus and God Jesus.
Jesus
the God, whatever, however you want to put it. Jesus the God man. There you go. So many people get tripped up feeling like they have two different characters. Oh yeah, the character of Jesus, that's great, but God the Father is more confusing, you know. People get tripped up. And so I would just say this. Jesus himself said, I only do what I see the Father doing. You know, they asked, Philip told him, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so there is no distinction there. The character of Jesus, the character of the Father are the same.
There's no, every question that you have about God can be answered in the person of Jesus. Every question you have in the Old Testament, this is the most practical, I think. We're talking about practical questions people have. That's the most practical thing we can leave you with. Is that if you have a question about God in the Old Testament, it's answered in Jesus in the New. And every time you read the Old Testament, you read it with the perspective of Jesus in the New. You have your Jesus glasses on every time you read the Old Testament. And so, who is Jesus? He's the Son of God, fully man. And that's why when you read the Bible, knowing that he's fully God, he's worthy of all honor and praise because he humbled himself coming to earth, that now we can read the words he says with a different weight.
Yeah.
Okay, we can read the words of Jesus and say, okay, you're God, so I can listen to you and you're a trusted source. But you have to know who he is to then trust his words. And so I hope this helped y'all understand, I guess, a little bit more of who Jesus is.